We want to thank you so much for joining us today in a study of God's Word. We're studying about Jesus Christ today, and we're studying from the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. We're glad you joined us. We hope you'll get your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to begin a study there, and today we're going to cover the first chapter, and it addresses Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 addresses Jesus Christ and his greatness, and that he is above the angels. My name is Richard Massey, and I'm glad you're joining us today to study the Bible, to study about the greatest one to ever live on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I don't know of a more splendid statement that you can find in all of the Bible than the statement that begins the book of Hebrews. And I'd like to read that beautiful introduction of this book and how it just exalts Christ. It exalts him to the highest. Let's read that. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Yes, Jesus Christ has a great position. He is God, he is deity, and he is sitting at God's right hand. No wonder that later in this book, the Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to listen to Jesus. God has spoken to us by his Son. Now, the Christians to whom this Hebrew letter was written to, and the title kind of gives the audience, it was written to Hebrews who were Christians, but they were not sticking with Jesus. They were going back to the law of Moses. They were going back to the First Testament. And the book of Hebrews says, don't do that. That was a shadow of good things to come. That wasn't the good things, but it was only a shadow. Look to Jesus. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, not Moses. Moses is not sitting there. And so the purpose of this epistle is to keep your eyes on Christ and obey his covenant. And God knows the exact words that man needs to hear. In Hebrews 4, it says in verse number 12, for the word of God, this word that we're reading right now, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows the exact words that man needs to hear. And the book of Hebrews is a book written by God. We don't know if it was Paul or Barnabas or Timothy. We know God wrote this book. That's what's important. The penman is not important. The author is important. And now let's examine this passage, Hebrews chapter 1, and let's appreciate why we should keep our eyes on Jesus. Verse 1 says that God communicates with man, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. God is a communicator. God is intelligent. God has made man in his image. Man is intelligent. And God has created words and uses words to convey his thoughts to us. And God is intelligent, and we are intelligent, and he has made our minds so that we can receive his words. Now, he spoke in different ways by the prophets unto the fathers. He used Moses. Moses was a great prophet. He delivered the law of the Old Testament to the Jewish nation. He also used Samuel and Isaiah and Amos and Jeremiah and Elijah and Elisha. He used those men to communicate. He used different ways, different manners. He spoke by visions, such as to Isaiah. He spoke by dreams, as he did to Daniel. He used messengers. He used angels. And so that's how God delivered his word. He spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. But now he is communicating to us by someone superior to those men, and that is his Son. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So the law came by Moses, but the gospel came by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is called Emmanuel, and that is interpreted God with us. God sent his Son from heaven to the earth to communicate to men. No wonder John 1:1 calls him the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 of John 1 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the only begotten Son of God. And so God was in the flesh. He sent his Son to communicate to us. Now, Hebrews 2:9, he also sent his Son to die for us. He came to communicate to us. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. That's why he came, for the suffering of death. He came to deliver God's word. He came to die for our sins. In the Hebrews 5:9, it says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. And so Christ came to deliver God's word. Christ came to die for our sins. And so we need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:26-27, for then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus Christ is the one that we are to listen to. He is the Son that God sent to this earth. And here is his position. Verse number 2 of Hebrews 1. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. And that is his position. Stay with Christ. He is the heir of all things. No one in the universe is equal with him. He is the firstborn of God. He has access to the whole inheritance of God. And God speaks through him. He is a prophet. He is God's spokesman. And the Bible goes on to say, he is the heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God made the world through Jesus Christ, his son. That's why we need to look to Jesus. He's the one God spoke to us through. And that is beautiful. We're thankful for that. In Psalm chapter 2 and verse number 8, it says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." He is the heir of all things. It is he that has all authority. The Bible says, by whom also he made the worlds. Christ made the worlds. In John 1 and verse 3 it says, "And by him was all things made, all things, and without him was not anything made that was made." He made the worlds. He is all powerful. Listen to Jesus Christ. He has the greatest position in all the world. Furthermore, it says in Hebrews 1 and 3, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." Christ is the express image of God's person. The Bible says in Colossians 2 and verse 9 that he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus told Philip, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." He is the express image of God's person. If you see Jesus, you have seen the Father, because they are exactly the same in every way. Keep looking to Jesus. Furthermore, it says in Hebrews 1 and 3 that he upholds all things by the word of his power. He's upholding all things. It is by his word that he created the earth. The Bible continually says in Genesis 1 that, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." God just used his word to create the earth. And now he upholds all things by his word. He made the light by his word. He made the land by his word. He made the plants and the animals and the oceans by his word. He made man. God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." God made everything. He is the creator of the world, and he upholds all things by the world, not Atlas. You know, the Greeks believed that Atlas held the world up. No, it's Jesus that holds up the world. And then it goes on to say, "And he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Christ is seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. No one else, no angel is sitting there. Moses is not sitting there. It's only Jesus Christ. And then verse 3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high." He's sitting at the most powerful position that anyone could hold, and that's the right hand of the Father. He purged our sins, and only he could purge our sins. You couldn't purge your own sins. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4 that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. Christ is the only one that could take away our sin. Follow him. Not Moses, not John the Baptist. Follow Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on him. He is sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Not angels, not Moses. He's in the greatest position of all. And then verse 4 says, being made much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Christ has the greatest name in all the world. There is no salvation under any other, for there is no other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved. His name saves us, not Gabriel, not Moses, not John the Baptist. Their names cannot save us. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that God has given him a name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You have a knee? Bow your knee to Jesus Christ. He has purged our sins. He is sitting down on the right hand of God. And angels are not there. Hebrews 1 and 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. His name is greater than all. Do not follow the angels. You know, we're not even supposed to worship angels. As John tried to do in the book of Revelation, the angel said, don't worship me, for I'm a servant of God just like you are. And so angels were never invited to sit at the right hand of God. Verse number 5 says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And so no angel was ever invited to sit. No angel was ever called the Son of God. And so do not follow the angels. Do not follow Moses. Verse 6, and again, quoting another verse, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. He is the first begotten into the world. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is the ranking Son. He is the firstborn Son. And we are to worship him. The lesser worships the greater. I hope you know that. Angels are the lesser, and they worship him that is the greater one. The Bible says this, you're not to worship a man, and you're not to worship angels. In Acts 10, when Peter came into the house of Cornelius, Cornelius tried to worship Peter. But notice in Acts 10 and verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. So we're not to worship men, and we're not to worship angels. We're to worship God. And Jesus Christ is God. So let's appreciate what the Bible is teaching us here in Hebrews chapter 1. Now, verse 7 says, of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, no one ranks above Jesus Christ. Now, the angels have a purpose and they have duties. Some people wanted to worship angels, evidently. Have you ever read Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Looks like some people were trying to worship angels there. Listen to this verse. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Don't let nobody deceive you. Worshiping angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. We are not to worship angels. Christ is the one that we're to keep our eyes on. His name is above every name. And God is glad to put him on high and to anoint him. Notice Hebrews 1 and verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Christ has been given the scepter of righteousness. A scepter was an object that a king would hold in his hand, like a baton. And it signified the highest power. And God is glad to put him on high. And angels minister and angels worship him. Verse 9 of Hebrews 1 says, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Christ has been exalted above the angels. Angels do not give the orders. Angels follow the orders of Christ. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Christ is the creator. He is the eternal one. But notice what it says. He made the earth. He made the heavens, verse 10 of Hebrews 1. But notice verse 11. They shall perish. The earth is going to perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. The heavens are going to wear out. Second law of thermodynamics. Everything's running down. The sun is using up all of its energy. And Christ is going to continue to exist. Verse 12, And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Christ is eternal. The creation of where we're living right now, it's not eternal. But Christ is eternal. And not only that, but Christ does not change. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because he is God. He has the great position, not angels. He has delivered the law. He has died for our sins. He remains unchanged with age and the passing of time. Time does not diminish his power. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Now, verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Well, he never said that to an angel. Therefore, angels are not above Christ. They are here to be servants. Verse 14. And they are they not all ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Angels are serving spirits. Angels are not the same rank as Jesus Christ. We have studied the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. We have studied it so that we will recognize the power and the exalted prominence of Jesus Christ. You know, he is to have preeminence in all things, the Bible says. Let him have preeminence. And let him have the right place in the kingdom. He is the king of this great kingdom, the church. And let's let him rule the church, not men. Men don't make up the rules. Isn't it a pity that the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church believes he can change the word of God, and what was not acceptable, he believes that he can make those acceptable. He's not sitting at the right hand of God. The Son is. Let's follow Jesus Christ and not men, not councils, not synods, not men exalted in a certain denomination. Let's follow Christ and do what he says to do. Let all the angels of God worship him. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope that our study in Hebrews chapter 1 has been beneficial to you and has helped you and strengthened you. May God bless you as you continue to study your Bible and seek God's favor because you will find it. Thank you, and we hope to see you the next time. God bless.